Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress at the Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, on the Colorado River. We have Ralph Ring with us.
So they gave us a call and said, we got you, coincidentally, there's a giant laboratory facility complete with warehouses, workshop, machine shop, offices, and everything necessary for you guys to go to work. And we're given a carte blanche on it. They for some reason they built this for a company that declined to take it, and so we want to see this thing develop, so it's yours to build.
And now, was this a private corporation of something sort, or a I mean, it seemed the money didn't seem to be an object there.
Well, we were,
I mean, you, somebody was funding you guys, right? Or was it just kind of a club?
Oh, yeah, we were being funded here and there, but yeah, a lot of it was out of our own pocket.
Oh, okay.
We were trying to do the.
And then you not only had sweat equity, you had sweat investment.
Right. So, anyway, we started developing craft, and to make things a little shorter here, we developed small bench models that we were operating natural principles with, and one of which I was involved with. We had a bench model, and we had it attached to an audio amplifier similar to that I had. It's a little more fancy than the one I had, but the one I had on the 15-inch speaker that I levitated with. And it started vibrating this disc. It's a 3-foot disc, and I touched the outside of the disc, and it was solid aluminum. And I kept feeling the hum. The whole room seemed to kind of hum, and I kept touching it, and pretty soon it got soft like jello, and pretty soon I put my fingers in through the aluminum hull of this craft on this little ship. And Carr just winked at me. He said, nothing. And we got into some pretty far-out conversations about what life is and everything. And he said, we're going to be doing the big craft pretty soon, and you have to get familiar with these laws and what they are. First, you have to realize that we're living in a world of illusion, that everything is energy, including you and me and the deep blue sea. It's all energy. And we perceive of it in nanoseconds. We produce it with our retinas and create what we want to create. We're all creators, and we create our environment. And I said, well, yeah, but, and he said, no, there's no buts involved here. This is the way it is. There's a realm beyond belief. He said, the realm of belief, if you believe something, you can be convinced not to believe it. And it's called the world of duality. You get into this is black, this is white, this is red, this is... And he says it goes on and on forever in a box. It's like you're chasing your tail, and you don't really get anywhere.
Okay, so he was telling you something that just seems a little hard to comprehend, that nobody's real and everybody's real at the same time. We're all energy of some sort, and our retinas transpose it. Did I get it kind of right?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it, yeah.
Well, that is hard to take.
You got it. So anyway, he said, well, now we're going to try and introduce this to the public. We've got General Motors on the phone. They agreed to meet us down in Riverside, California, for a talk and a demonstration of what we'd like to present to them. And I went down with Mr. Carr and a couple of the engineers. And when we got there, they had their engineers there, and they were all set up ready to see what we had. And we told them we wanted to take their wheels that were vertical, that was having to put down a lot of pavement for them to transport people in order to get somewhere. And we wanted to take their wheel and turn it sideways and get it off the ground. That way we wouldn't destroy any more of the earth. We wouldn't have to put down concrete.
Right. No more juggles.
Yeah, right. So, and we gave him a small demonstration of levitation.
Uh-huh.
And And we showed them it's quite simple. There's nothing to it. And we want to ask you guys if you will help us manufacture spaceships for everyone. And he said, are you serious? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you realize magnetic power? We explained it to him. No such thing as accidents. And that in the craft that we were...
How does that work?
Well, if you take... If you played with magnets at all, you know that if you turn them one way, they attract. If you turn them the other way, they repel. And that's the nature of magnetism. It has an attraction and a repelling forces to it. So in the case of spaceships, and this was before computers really got going. Now there's nothing to it. But if you get into a craft and you have a magnetic field that you're in, like a bubble of a bubble, you can't crash. You can't crash into anything. You can't crash into each other or anything else.
In other words, when it gets close, it repels it.
It repels it.
Okay.
And with the advent of computers now, which can think faster than the brain, it's absolutely perfect because there are no accidents. Well, he said, do you realize what the insurance company is going to be saying about this? No more money for insurance. No more. No. You guys are going too far out, too soon. He said, maybe 100 years. He was telling us the same thing that I'd heard before.
Yes. So in many ways, these guys were protecting their turf.
Yeah.
But they're really guilty of some sort of manslaughter, if you stop and think about it. Look how many automobile accidents we've had all these years. You look at all of the danger we've done to the ecology by still staying with fossil fuels. It's criminal.
Yes. Yes.
I understand they're talking about that they're just looking after the economy and the way they're doing it. But that's not all. There's always unintended results and consequences, and the unintended consequences is that hundreds of thousands of people have died over the years needlessly.
Yes, yes. I never looked at... Thank you for that. I never really comprehended that till just now. But that's true. They are responsible for many, many things that didn't have to happen after we gave them the option of a better way, of an easier way.
Right.
Either easier way.
So, I mean, this is one of the reasons I wanted you on the show, is these things, not only are they just trying to take care of an older venture capital mechanism, a way of making money, but they're actually doing harm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of harm.
Yes, yeah, they were, and they rounded off after we talked to them. The engineers checked us out, checked all our specs.
No, they didn't say you're full of BS. I said this will probably work, but we don't want to do it.
He said, yeah, that'll probably work, but yeah. We're not interested. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Carr, if you put them up, we'll shoot them down. That was the exact words this guy said. If you put them up, we're going to shoot them down. So we were stunned, and we didn't know what to say, you know, how to react to that. So Mr. Carr, he was a very humble gentleman, and he just said, well, you know, it's going to happen sooner or later, and the later it gets, the more trouble, the more chaos, the more harm is going to happen. And we could end all this right now if you'd let us proceed. And he didn't want to hear anymore, and he left the room. That was the end of that interview.
So you once again hit a blank wall.
Hit another blank wall. So Mr. Carr said, all right, boys, we're going to have to get a larger model. We had a 45-foot craft that we had just got operational, got everything ready to operate. And he said, what we'll do is get this thing operational, and we will then take it and show the public. We'll spot all over the place with this thing and more. We were going to build more, and let the public
right,
see what's
right
going
in other words, bypass.
Yeah, bypass.
Yeah,
this system.
These people that were standing in your way.
Right. So we did. We hurried up. Then we worked day and night, and we got this 45-foot craft ready to go, operational. But before we could do anything, Carr said, "Now, boys, it's time for the briefing, and this is where we're gonna go a little further out than you've ever been before, and I'll explain all to you about this part of natural law, and that is where you're gonna go. We've got a 65-mile range here in Victorville." And you're going to go downrange about 10 miles. I'm going to have you get out and do some things, and then you're going to come back. And that's it. That's the end of the experiment. And we said, well, that sounds simple. That's pretty good. So he explained that there is a limit to the brain. Of the capacity of the brain ends at the end of the body. The body, brain is a computer that takes care of what you call a body, your machine, your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it has no interest, doesn't want any interest, it doesn't even know it exists. So the things that are going to happen to you, or you're going to have to open your mind, you're going to have to clear your brain of any thoughts and just relax. And I'll guide you. I'll be in touch with you by, you know, I don't even know how we communicated, but I could hear Carr talking all the time. And we got on board. There was three of us.
Okay. Now, let's we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want you to describe the craft. And you were obviously at some sort of test range, kind of like an automobile test range or something, out in Victorville, out in the high desert in California.
Right.
And the object, I guess, was to use this new power, this new levitation, to go from one place to another.
Right.
Had you expected that it would be instantaneous by then?
No, I didn't know.
They hadn't told you that.
They didn't say anything.
Okay. We'll be right back with Ralph Ring. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada.
The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime. Anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com.
This is Jerry Pippin. We left Ralph Ring for the break. You were getting ready to test this vehicle. What did it look like?
Well, it was a 45-foot diameter craft, aluminum. It was a beautiful-looking ship. There was no... if you've seen one flying saucer, you've seen them all. This one looked pretty close to what you've probably seen.
And a little the crew cab at the top or something?
Yeah, and I've got pictures that, well, in fact, Project Camelot ran a lot of the specs and a lot of the pictures.
Right, right. We have them on our... So people, for the radio audience, I just want to go over it again a little bit. So how many people got into this craft?
Well, there was three of us, and we were seated around, almost centrally located in the center of the craft, and there was a giant steel ball, a crystal, a white, clear crystal ball, in sitting in what looked to be like a gyro telescope setting, And then up through the bottom of this was a bright, I believed it to be a laser. And Carr was coaching us all the time, and he said, "Okay, now we're gonna. Here's what we're gonna do." And he fired this up, and it was the most beautiful colors I've ever seen. It went from infrared to ultraviolet, all the way around this thing in millions of degrees. I mean, you could count forever and never get to the end of the colors.
Did it make noise?
No noise.
Okay.
And he said, "We're going to an area about 10 miles downrange that has a frequency that you could equate to aquamarine. So we're concentrate on aquamarine, concentrate on what you're doing, and relax. Clear your mind. Don't
now when you
say
I concentrate on aquamarine, you're talking about you think mentally think about that.
Yeah, mentally think about the color." Uh-huh. And keep your eye on the globe, and that's it. Just don't do anything else. Don't do anything else. Just sit there. So we did, and this globe started to pulsate, and it started to glow in aquamarine color. And
so none of the three of you were controlling anything. You were sitting here just thinking.
We were just beyond thinking. They told us don't think. They said just sit there and keep your mind clear.
Okay.
And you'll know what happens after it happens. So we did that, and what happened was this aquamarine globe kept getting brighter and brighter, and we didn't have any sensation of movement at all. And Carr was telling us, "Okay, now get out of the ship, and I want you to go down and pick up sticks and stones, put them in your pockets. Blah, blah, blah. Spend a little time looking around, get familiar with the territory, and then get back on board," which we did. We got back on board, and he said, "Okay."
Did you have any sensation when you went there?
No, none.
Just instantaneously none. You were there?
Instantaneously.
Okay. Carr told you you were there. Or?
Well, this is it. He said, "Get back on board and sit down." Now, at that time, everything was kind of blanked out, and I didn't realize till after the experiment, I started connecting the dots of a lot of this, of what happened to me. But then he said, "Okay, now get out of the ship, come on into debriefing, and I'll tell you all about this." So we got out of the ship, and we said, "It didn't work, did it?" And he said, "You think so?" And I said, "Yeah, I know. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't feel anything."
Okay.
And he said, "Well, you've got witnesses here. They saw the thing levitate, and then it disappeared, and then it reappeared in about 5 seconds. I said, "Oh, well, nothing like that happened to us." And then the time that we spent, which in retrospect equated to about 15 minutes picking up sticks and stones, we'd forgotten about until he said, after we had said, you know, "We didn't go anywhere, we didn't do anything," he said, "Check your pockets." So we checked our pockets, and out comes these sticks and stones and everything else, and we didn't know how that happened.
Uh-huh.
We were completely out of it. And he said, Your brain can only comprehend so much, and where you went was the mind. You went beyond time. You went beyond space. Time is a creation of a period that you put between the beginning and the end of something. But in real life, there is no time. It's all infinity. It goes from no beginning and no end.
The Alpha Omega.
Alpha Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so he explained all that to us. And he went on to say that you'll find out later in life by continuing your research in natural law that if you operate from the mind, not the brain, get beyond the thinking of this is right and this is wrong, this is good and this is bad, that everything is one. Everything is all good, all of it. It's only bad when you say it's bad. and it might be bad to one person, good to another. And you're going to get confused and like scrambled eggs. You're going to get all mixed up if you stay in that box. And the only way out of the box is to do what you did on board the ship. Just clear your mind and then get into the knowing of what you're doing, where you absolutely know what to do. So anyway, that's what the experiment was. That's what I've been doing ever since. We formulated a group now. We've got quite a little group going. And I guess I've been invited to quite a few places to speak about this. And my group is behind me. We've got about 12 people that are have a wide range of expertise. We've spotted some land near Prescott, Arizona, where we are feeling that we can build a big research and development laboratory and start replicating or start building spaceships again, and then presenting them this time in a different way where I don't feel...
What's your plan on presenting them this time?
Well, we're going to build enough of them, and we're going to, via the Internet, via the computer, via the wide exposure that we have now that we didn't have then, we're going to broadcast them and continually broadcast them on any media that we can, and then expose them to the public like overnight. We'll just come in droves with our craft and let people know that they've always been here. You just haven't been able to see them because your capacity has been so involved with earning a living and so forth. You haven't raised your consciousness high enough to realize what reality is. And
So the practical applications of what you're doing will be what?
The practical applications of what?
Building these spaceships. Right. I mean, are we going to replace buses, cars, and trains with them? Or?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have homes. Everybody will have their own home, complete with all self-sufficient.
So you're going back to your original dream,
right,
of levitating houses.
Right.
And you'll have the pole outside with the electricity.
Right.
All of this is part of this scheme.
Right. No moving parts, no maintenance, no pollution, and no wearing out. Nothing will wear out. It'll last for as long as you want it to. And then from small homes, we want to go to cities and start levitating cities and have the same thing in the cities. And then
now, what's the advantage of a levitating city?
Well,
obviously the energy situation.
If I want a private location in the Ozark somewhere, and I want to sit down over a lake and make that be my home for a while.
So you don't have to worry about ground.
You don't have to touch the ground. You can be 3 inches or 3 miles above the ground. It makes no difference wherever you want to sit. But then if you want to get, for some reason, involved with something that's in the cities, then you take your little home and fly it to the big home, or the mother city, or the mother ship, if you will.
So in other words, it would be every man could have his own RV.
Absolutely. Totally.
Yeah, you could just, and it wouldn't be limited to something with wheels on it. We're listening to Ralph Ring, and we're broadcasting here from the UFO Congress. We only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. How do people find you, Ralph, and people listening? And what in a perfect world would you like to have happen?
Well, years ago when I talked about these things, of course, they thought...
And how many years ago did this happen, by the way?
Well, this happened in the late 50s and early 60s.
Okay.
And, of course, in those days, to talk about the things I'm talking about now, where you run the risk of them showing up with white jackets and putting in a rubber room for a while and everything.
Yeah, right.
But now people are more, they're more exposed to technology. They know things are going on that we're not exposed to. The military is far exceeded anything. They've got technology now that far exceeds anything that people realize. They have,
for instance.
Well, they have underground cities. Mount Weather, for instance, in near upper state New York. It's a complete. I have some friends that are in FEMA, and they've been there and told me it's a complete. It's a small country. They've got sidewalks. They've got schools. They've got parks. They've got artificial sunlight. They've got gardens. And yet the public is vaguely, if at all, aware that these things go on. And I've heard of several facilities like that.
Well, that took a lot of money to build. I wonder, I guess the black ops projects and budgets are even bigger than we think.
Oh, yeah, and we're paying for it all and not getting any of the benefits.
No, who's going to get to go to these underground cities and why?
Well, I just talked to a gentleman the other night at dinner that is a retired Air Force pilot that has a privileged pass that if, in the event anything of major catastrophe happens, they will fly him immediately to Mount Weather. And him, along with some other VIPs.
So there is a group that's already made the decisions of who gets the benefits and who gets stuck out here in the middle of whatever happens.
They're all VIPs for them on their side.
Yeah.
None of us.
Yeah, I don't have a pass. Do you?
I don't have a pass.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's too bad.
So, yeah, it is.
So basically, you may open this up down in Prescott, and when you do. We want to get back with you and find out what's happening.
Okay.
But your first project, what do you think it'll be? Is it going to be the housing developments or the vehicles themselves or the free electricity? Or?
Well, there's technology out now that is available in the way of solar panels and so forth that outdate the solar panels that have been used in the past. They have developed now solar that can be put on your car or painted onto your house that will absorb electricity right out of the atmosphere, right from the sun and the atmosphere. And we want to start then on a low-key presenting alternative energies to people so that they can see that this is a real thing, and we will progress on towards our goal, which is floating homes or spaceships, if you will. And that will come down the line.
Now, one final question before we go here. You keep using the term spaceship, and literally they are. They travel in space. Mm-hmm. Will we be limited to earthbound vehicles, or can they use this for interstellar things, or do you have any idea?
Once the consciousness is raised of who and what we really are. We are living in a sea of illusion.
And I want to ask, you know, you're a realistic guy, and so am I.
Sure.
And we're not putting anybody down, but the world's got a lot of, I'm from Oklahoma, so I can use the term.
Okay.
Rednecks, there's a lot of that mentality around how they ever going to get up to this consciousness to use this.
Oh, they'll make it. They'll make it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how.
You're optimistic. Anybody probably can use these things once you develop it.
Well, right now they're doing more things right now than they realize. People right now are walking through walls. They're doing everything, but they don't realize what they're doing because they don't realize who and what they are. They're a tremendous power of energy. That's what they are, is a big ball of energy.
I don't remember walking through a wall. But
well,
yeah. But I'm not going to call you a liar because you seem to be a very intelligent human being. So
we had 8 people in Prescott, Arizona, at a meeting, and I had all 8 of them walk through the wall. So
you did.
Yeah. There's nothing to it. It's quite.
Well, we're going to have to make another appointment with either Carrie, or we'll get our camera out and watch this.
Well,
yeah, you can't do it, huh?
Well,
yeah. We'll be talking to you, Ralph. I've enjoyed it.
You have to be able to know what's happening.
Okay.
And it's etheric technology.
Good luck, and I think your heart's in the right place, and we're Sorry we're out of time, but it's been very, very interesting. And urge people to look at the Kerry Cassidy-Bill Ryan interview with Ralph Ring to fill this out a little bit. Roberta Scott has been our on-location producer. Our editor's been Jane Swartley. Until next time, cheers. This is Jerry Pippin. Good night.
I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production.